Our Old Testament lesson this morning will be taken from the book of Isaiah. We will be reading from the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And we'll be reading from verses 1 through 13. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know. And nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace, that the mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Our New Testament lesson comes from the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, we'll be reading from, and we'll be reading from verses 1 through verse 8. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. When a great crowd gathered and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be pleasing and acceptable to you. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is our fourth week looking at one of the parables in Luke's gospel. And as we said last week, parables are sometimes difficult for us to understand. We don't often like ambiguity. We want things to be clear, precise, and spelled out. We often want someone to tell us exactly what we need to believe and what we need to think and what we need to do. But the Bible tells us that that wasn't Jesus' style. Jesus, we are told, often spoke in parables, short, often enigmatic stories that sometimes people were able to get and understand, but oftentimes it left people scratching their heads, wondering just exactly what Jesus was talking about. One of the things that Jesus' parables do is that they disrupt our expectations. We saw that last week when we looked at the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. Both go into the house of God to pray. And our expectations is that the Pharisee, the religious leader, will come out and that he will be the one that's justified. But instead, we are told that after they come out praying, that it is the tax collector, the sinner, who is the one who is made right with God because of his contriteness of heart. We religious folks sometimes believe that we have God all figured out. We don't, of course. God's ways are much higher than our ways. Even when we think we know something, we don't know it as we should. The religious leaders in Jesus' day thought they also understood the ways of God. They thought they had God all figured out. They had the Bible. They had the prophets. They had the law of Moses. They had the tradition. But despite all of that, they couldn't recognize God in their midst, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only could they not recognize God in their midst, but they even colluded to have him killed. So sometimes those of us who think we know, those of us who believe that we have God all figured out, we don't have God all figured out. And so Jesus understood that. And so Jesus often told parables. He understood how hard-hearted we can be. So he often used parables or stories to dislodge us from a world where we think we have things all figured out to the kind of world where all is strange and things don't turn out as expected. Jesus often told parables to tell people what God was like and what the kingdom of God was like. You want to know what God is like, says Jesus? Well, God is like a father waiting for a wayward child. God's not out there ready to get us whenever we do something wrong. It's not like God is marking down all the things we do wrong and is out there ready to get us. But he's like a father, watching and waiting, watching and hoping that we come back to our senses. Or Jesus says God's like a shepherd who will leave the 99 sheep to go looking for one sheep. He'll leave 99 to go look for the one that's lost. That's the kind of God that God is. And the people in God's day, especially Jesus' day, and especially the religious leaders said, what kind of God is that? What kind of crazy God would leave 99 sheep to go look for one that's lost? We know what we would often do. We would write that lost one off. We got 99. Let's write that one off. But that's not the kind of God we are told that God is. Jesus says, you want to know what the kingdom of God is like? Well, here's what it's like. It's like a party. It's like a banquet with no expense spared. Like a wedding banquet or a state dinner where you go all out. But only all the wrong kind of people are invited. Imagine that. Imagine having a banquet for dignitaries and inviting all the wrong kind of people, inviting homeless people and inviting people living in the streets and in the alleys, inviting the poor, people you think wouldn't even appreciate a steak dinner. And yet that's the kind of people that's invited to the banquet. And Jesus says that's the way the kingdom of God is. If you want to understand the kingdom of God, that's what it's like. And we say, what kind of craziness is that? What kind of outlandish God would do something like that? We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't waste our best china on people who wouldn't understand what it was all about, people who wouldn't appreciate it. We wouldn't invite the homeless people into our house to enjoy a party that we had given. But Jesus says, that's the way God is, and that's the way the kingdom of God is. And so Jesus often told parables in order to convey to us the truth about an outlandish God that often does outlandish things, things which disrupt our expectations. In our text this morning, we are told that there is a great crowd, and they've gathered to hear Jesus. Many of them have traveled a good little way. They've come from town after town, we are told. And they've come to hear what Jesus has to say. They want to know what he has to say about God, what he has to say about salvation, what he has to say about their lives. What do you have to say, Jesus? We're here to hear. They're all pressed in, listening attentively, waiting for the good news. And Jesus, well, he tells them a parable. There is this farmer, he says, a sower who went out to sow seed. Probably just a small first century dirt farmer trying to eke out a living in the agrarian economy of Palestine. The land was often difficult and seed was very expensive. But he's out there sowing seed. And some of the seed, we are told, fell on hard ground and the ravens came and ate it. Some fell on the rocks and couldn't get enough moisture. Some of the seed was choked out by the thorns where it had fallen, but some of it fell on good ground where it yielded 100-fold. And then Jesus says, that's it. That's the lesson for today. You guys go chew on that a little bit. Jesus' disciples, of course, are like me sometimes. It takes him a minute or two to get something, a minute or two for it to sink in. Sometimes, you know, things have to be explained and broken down. And so they go to him, perhaps with a little bit of trepidation and embarrassment, and they ask, Jesus, what was that parable all about that you told earlier today? You know, the one about the sower. And the text doesn't say this, but I imagine Jesus saying to himself, boy, don't you guys get anything? Do I have to explain everything and break it down in the most minute detail? You guys must be Presbyterians or something. The seed, of course, we are told later in Luke's gospel is the word of God, the word of life, the word of salvation. And the soil are the various ways that the word is received into the hearts and minds of men and women. And I have to tell you that out of all of Jesus' parables, many of us preachers, we love this parable, the parable of the sower. We love it because in many ways it's kind of easy to preach. It's already broken down. If you read later in Luke's gospel, Jesus kind of breaks down the parable and what it means. But we also like this parable because we often see ourselves as the sowers of God's word. Yet we also understand how precarious that situation can be. We often wonder, are we being effective? Are people listening? Are we sowing God's word? Are we sowing the gospel? Are we sowing God's truth? Are we sowing God's love? Are we sowing it? Are we doing this thing right? And now here's a parable that says, preacher, it ain't up to you. It ain't always about you. Sometimes it's about the soil. Sometimes it's about what's going on in people's hearts. You know, some hearts are just hard. Some hearts are beaten down. They're worn out. They've been tread upon. They hear God's word of mercy, God's word of love, God's word of grace. They hear it, but they can't believe it. It just kind of sits there on their hearts. The word just sits there, unable to penetrate. And then we are told that the ravens are Satan comes and takes it away. Give me that joy. Give me that peace. Give me that love. You don't deserve that. That's not for you. Give me that. There's a lot of people in our world today that believe that they're not worthy to receive God's grace. I used to know a lady who had a hard and difficult life, but she started coming to church and she began to hear another message about herself. She began to hear that she was not what her past had suggested she was. She heard that she was a child of God, loved by God. But her spirit was too beaten down, too worn out to accept that. And one day she met a man who convinced her that all that religious stuff was nonsense. Don't believe that. That's not who you are. Don't believe that. And so she went back to believing and accepting those old definitions about herself, those definitions that lead to destruction and death. And so there are many people out there whose hearts have been hardened and who've been beaten down and worn out. And Jesus says sometimes seed falls on hard ground, on paths that have been worn in the earth. Then there are those who hear the word, but there's no depth. The word doesn't go very deep. It doesn't become rooted and grounded in any substantial way. The seed's been implanted, but it hasn't been nourished and cultivated in love and in prayer and in study and in fellowship. We've all seen that going on. We've all seen surface Christians. Sometimes they start out being on fire, full of zeal. But the first crisis that comes along, they kind of blow away. And so Jesus says sometimes the word falls on those kind of hearts as well. And then there are those who hear the word and maybe even start out to bear some fruit. But slowly, perhaps imperceptibly, God starts to get crowded out from their lives. Starts out simple enough, you know, I know this is Sunday, I know this is the Lord's Day, I know this is the day dedicated to worship God, but you know, the kids, they have soccer practice today, and you know, the football game starts at 1 o'clock, and we got to be down to the stadium early to find our seats and to get parking, and so maybe, you know, maybe we can let worship slide this Sunday. You know, it's simple enough. We've all done something like that. But sometimes it means that we begin to accept the logic of the world. You know, we become so preoccupied with the things of the world. We become caught up in our careers and our jobs, our pensions, our portfolios, our 401k plans, where we're going to send the kids to college. We start getting caught up in all of those kind of things and all of the anxieties that they produce. And before we know it, God's love and joy and peace start to get crowded out. Jesus tells us again and again, don't be anxious about anything. Seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and God will take care of all the other important things that we need. Seek first the kingdom of God. But we know that there are hearts out there that can't put God first. Their hearts filled with anxiety about the things of this world. And Jesus says sometimes seed falls on those kind of hearts. But last but certainly not least, there are people who are the good soil. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go to Missouri, as you all know, and I took the train there. And when I got to Illinois, I started seeing nothing but farmland. Farmers out cultivating and planting, field after field of farmland. And of course, Illinois and the Midwest has a lot of, it's a lot of good soil out there. You can grow a lot of things. And Jesus says there are people who are like that. Many of you are like that. You not only hear the word, but you hold it fast to good and honest hearts, and you bring forth fruit worthy of the gospel and worthy of the kingdom of God, fruits of love and joy and peace and righteousness and truth. Here for many years, someone sowed some seed. That's the reason this church is here, because someone at one time sowed some seed. And many of you are here this morning because someone sowed some seeds in your heart, seeds that have produced not just tenfold or twentyfold, but 100-fold. And that's what God does. We don't ever know, of course, what kind of ground it is we're sowing in. We don't know if it's thorny ground. We don't know if it's worn out ground. We don't know if it's rocky ground. We don't know. We're just told to sow the seed. But all we know that it's God who who's in the midst of things, who's working in the midst of things. And we are told that sometimes the word takes root in sincere and honest hearts. And God's word multiplies in those hearts. And love and peace and justice and righteousness are the result. That's the parable that Jesus told in our text this morning. And Jesus said, that's it. That's the parable. That's the one that I wanted you to learn today. And now you know why us preachers, we love this parable, because it's simple. It's short. It gets to the point. It's easy to figure out. That's it. That's the parable. But I suspect this morning that there is more to this parable than meets the eye. I suspect that this parable is not just about us preachers, and it's not even about the soil. But this parable is really about God. It is God who is doing the sowing. What this parable is really telling us is that God is like the sower. God is like a farmer. God's like a farmer who goes out into a field with his seed, very expensive seed which was the lifeblood of the economy of the ancient world. And we're told that God goes out with this seed and God just starts sowing the seed all over the place. Not a very smart farmer. It's not the way I would do it. You know, I grew up in the Midwest. I went to church with people who were farmers when I was young. I don't know anything about farming, but even I know that's not the way you do it. And I suspect even many of you who grew up in Philadelphia, the big city of Philadelphia, you know that's not the way you do it. But Jesus says that this farmer, he's taking seed and he's sowing it all over the place. He doesn't care where he's sowing it. He's sowing it on ground that's been worn out. He's sowing it in grounds that's been infested with thorns. He's sowing it in ground that doesn't go very deep. He's sowing it all over the place. He's sowing it in parking lots. He's sowing it in communities that nothing can grow, where nothing can grow. He doesn't care. He's just sowing the word. And you say, what kind of crazy, outlandish God is that? What kind of crazy, outlandish farmer is that? Who would do something that crazy? Well, you know who would do it. It is the God who wants to bless us more than we can even imagine. God wants to bless each and every one of us. And God doesn't care who you are. God doesn't care where you're at. God wants to bless you. God wants God's words of love and mercy and compassion. God wants God's kingdom implanted in your heart. God wants to bless you not just tenfold, but God wants to bless you 100-fold for the good of the kingdom. That's what God is like. It's not what we're like. We don't want that. We want to be very, very careful in where we sow the seed or where we think the seed ought to be sowed. Don't sow it over there. Jesus, that's not good ground. Don't sow it in that community. That's not good ground. Don't sow it over here in that part of town. That's thorny ground. Don't sow it over there because that ground's been worn out. It's been tread over. Don't sow it there. But God sows God's love and blessing and peace everywhere because he wants all people to be blessed. And that's the way he wants us to sow as well. He wants us as his people to sow the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to all people so that we might continue to pass on the blessing, God's blessing of justice and mercy and life for all people. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have given us your word. We confess that we often have to struggle with your word. But you have given us your word so that we might be able to see your ways and your will for for our lives. Lord, we ask that you help us to go out into this world and share the blessings of your good news, the blessings of your word. In a world that is darkened by all kind of things, in a world where there are people who would send us on the wrong path, in a world that is infested with all kinds of things that seek to choke out your good news, we ask that you help us, your people, to continue to be the bearers of your good news in the midst of this community and in the midst of this world. Lord, we ask that you open our hearts, help our hearts to be able to cultivate your word. Help your word take root in our hearts so that we can continue to proclaim the good news as the beloved community that you have called us to be. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.